You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
This is the Evidence-Based Podcast. Evidence-based medicine integrates clinical experience and a patient-centered focus with the best available research information. It's a movement which aims to increase the use of high-quality clinical research in clinical decision-making. The evidence-based approach requires new skills of the clinician, including efficient literature research and the application of formal rules of evidence in evaluating clinical literature. This podcast is dedicated to all healthcare providers with a thirst for scientific knowledge, those who are explorers, innovators, and researchers. Welcome to the Evidence-Based Podcast with your host, Dr. Jason Cavallina.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, welcome to the Evidence-Based Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jason Cavallina. Today is the CBD show. We have a special guest, as always, Todd Urey with us today, the man about town, the man in charge of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Todd, how are you today?
Hey, Mr. Jason J. Max, the one and only evidence-based podcast host. Thank you so much for having me back. I love this topic because I hear the word and the phrase and the terminology from medical professionals as well as lay people and patients and family members and friends, CBD being talked about and thrown around for the cure-all and the best thing and the dangers and the FDA. So I can't wait to dig into this topic.
Well, this is CBD is probably the greatest thing that ever occurred to muddy the waters of everything and anything that's out there. Right. Sure. So not only will it cure everything, but it'll also confuse the hell out of everybody. Where are you buying your CBD? Todd, are you buying it at the head shop? Are you buying it at a dispensary? Or maybe you're buying it at the coffee shop? You know, you can get the CBD-infused honey and put in your tea. Right. Maybe you went to the pharmacy and you saw it at the pharmacy. Even better, you were at your doctor's office and they have it there too. So Right. Is it legal? Can you buy CBD? Well, there's a lot of things that are out there. Of course, you can buy it. But what is CBD? What is THC? Is CBD going to get you high? We're going to talk about all that stuff today. Basically, we've seen that the CBD products or cannabidol has been out there in the public eye for a long time now. It's moving into pharmacies and in mainstream retailers. I believe Walgreens and CVS are coming out with a line for themselves. And you don't just have to go to a smoke shop or dispensary to see that product out on the shelves. You don't have to go to the health food store and find it at the health food store. Because, you know, just like everything else, there's going to be a lot of brands, there's going to be a lot of products, there's going to be a lot of strengths. What do you do? How do you use it? What do you take? Can it hurt you? Can it interact with some of your drugs that you take on a normal basis? Is it going to be, you know, a product that you should think about using or not think about using? What are we supposed to do? Well, today on the Evidence-Based Podcast, we're going to address these issues and we're going to sort of hit a nice list of things. And we're going to ask questions like, what are the potential benefits? What are the potential side effects? What are the potential areas of therapeutic use? Okay. And so let's start off right off the bat, Todd, and you can chime in with any questions you have as long as, you know, as we're going along, because you are the, how did you call it? Not the know it all, but the know it some?
The know it some.
I'm like the know it some. The know it some. The nut some.
That's right. The nut some. Hey, that's a good way of putting it. The nut some. And that's the majority of the people that pharmacists are going to run into. It's going to be the internet know it some. Mm-hmm. Or not some, that is going to swear up and down that they watched a YouTube video for 2 hours on the revolution of, you know, curing cancer and, you know, the reversing aging and all of this crazy stuff that's come from the CBD universe, multi-billion-dollar industry that the FDA is very quickly trying to regulate the right way.
Right.
And something that is very interesting to me is the fact that organizations like the FDA are not looking to pharmacists as the primary providers, the primary healthcare providers to really chime in to the drug and drug food and drug allergy side of all of this.
Right.
And to me, it's the pharmacist, not necessarily in the research setting, but that mm-hmm. could definitely be the pharmacist. But once the research is finished to the point that the FDA can clear this
right.
for public use in the correct way, then it should be the pharmacist that is the quarterback of your healthcare, of your medication regime, of your therapy, of when to insert, how to insert. I like the information that you prefaced with regards to how to get it into your system. Is this right. a suppository? Is it a tablet? Is it a capsule? Is it an oil? Is it an edible? Is it a vaporizer? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's mm-hmm. that in and of itself, Jason, you know very well, and our listeners should be very attuned to mm-hmm. the administration has much to do with how the substance is getting into your system, how it's Absolutely. Regulated in your system, how it's being broken down and metabolized. I'm interested, it's going to take a few years for the FDA to fully clarify its stance on CBD. However, the agency itself, the principal deputy commissioner, tweeted just last Friday that the agency would work as quickly as possible with all the pressure that they're getting to move forward, to do some type of deregulating, to make it legal on some capacity. What I'd like to see first is in the hands of the physician and pharmacist.
Right, exactly. Well, let's go, let's address that issue right away. So CBD and THC are both cannabinoids, right? And they are found in two different plants, marijuana and hemp. Marijuana is primarily THC, which is the quote unquote high causing agent, right? Is the hallucinogenic agent that is associated with marijuana. And hemp, which contains primarily CBD, which is cannabidiol. Hemp has 0.3% or less THC, right? And that product is no longer federally controlled and is a legal source of CBD. And that's after last year's farm bill was signed by President Trump. But that's a federal issue. And we all know in pharmacy, there are federal laws and there are state laws, and we all have to follow the ones that are stricter. And the state laws we see vary from state to state. In California, all forms of cannabis are legal. But in Idaho, all forms of cannabis are illegal, right? So how are you supposed to walk those muddy water lines? Mm-hmm. In New York, CBD is something you can buy over the counter in a tincture, in a muscle rub, in a cold rub, in a capsule, in all different formulations. The other part that makes this a regulation issue is that the FDA has approved a CBD product, right, as a drug, right? What is a drug? A drug is something that is used to modify, treat, remedy a physical ailment, right? So once this FDA says something is a drug, then without a special over-the-counter drug application, the drug can't be sold as a drug over the counter to modify disease. So the FDA regulations added more confusion. They said that CBD can't be sold as a supplement since it was first approved as a prescription drug, Epidiolex. But CBD is allowed in hemp-derived, quote-unquote, cosmetics, creams, and lotions. So what does it mean for CBD tinctures that are sold in the pharmacy over the counter? Are they're not quote unquote supplements, right? It's not like GNC where you're getting, you know, magnesium and protein powders and stuff like that. They're not dietary supplements. So what is it? Well, we have to look into that and figure out, you know, where does the FDA lie on that? The other issue is that, you know, regulations and the sort of enforcement of the rules of the law is very spotty as well. Most law enforcement agencies don't have the time or care enough to worry about regulating it. So is it ever going to be truly regulated? Probably not. Do you know, Todd, if there's anybody who knows about the variety of CBD products and knows about their safety, quality, and dosing?
You know, my go-to CBD source has been a longtime client of the Pharmacy Podcast Network called CV Sciences, which is a publicly traded CBD processor. And Stuart Tomk has been on the Pharmacy Podcast Network a bunch of times. And they actually have a library of podcast content out there that I'll put in the show notes so that people can listen to more podcasts on the subject. But Stuart has taken me down a CBD descriptive rabbit hole that I only consumed maybe 20% of what he was saying because of how scientific it can get. When you start talking about different ways that the CBD is broken down.
There isn't just one CBD, right? There is a family of CBDs. Now, we could backtrack a little bit and say, hey, what is supposed to, like, how does CBD work? Like, what does it do?
Right.
Well, so you have in your body the endogenous cannabinoid system. What is that and what does it do? So in your body, you have a system that regulates your homeostasis. Cannabinoids are a part of that system that are already in the human. That's what endogenous means. They're in your body. That system regulates pain. It regulates pain relief. It regulates, helps regulate mood. It helps regulate inflammation. And it helps regulate sleep. So, and a myriad of other things. So the idea is that taking a exogenous CBD product into your body will help regulate that system in a way that maybe your homeostasis levels are off. That's a very sort of holistic way to think about it. But there are a couple things your body is really good at doing. Homeostasis is one of them. Detoxifying your body is another. That's a whole nother show. We'll talk about the detox epidemic that's out there. But your liver and your kidneys are your filters. They're out there to detoxify everything that's in your body and reactions that go on in your body and help you excrete them and get rid of the negative things that are inside your body. So taking an exogenous product to regulate endogenous systems, you know, we do that every day with drugs. So taking the CBD, we have to figure out how are we going to get this into our body in a way that our body isn't going to snap, break it down right away. Right. So the creams are good for point of contact, but are the creams made properly and ointments made properly to get to the site of action? If you take an oral product and you take a tincture and you put it under your tongue, or do you swallow it right away? Our livers are designed to break down drugs in what's called first pass metabolism. So anything that goes into your stomach, the very first place, anything absorbed from the stomach or the digestive tract immediately goes to the liver. And that blood flow from your intestines and your stomach go directly to the liver, and are then, there is a process of metabolism that breaks down all drugs through what's called first pass metabolism. So that reduces the effective dosing of these products. So if they're swallowed right away, you might chew it up completely 100%, right? And get no effect. And now you're just taking a placebo. If you melt it under your tongue or allow it to be absorbed under the tongue, you might be getting a greater benefit of the product, if any benefit at all. And that's sort of one of the ideas to think about. How are you getting this into your system? Are you using it in hemp seed oil? Is it in MCT oil? Is it in water? You know, and all of these different oils and different bases affect how fast it gets into the body, how much it's absorbed into the body, and your dosing of that product itself. Now, I don't today don't want to get into like the dosing regimen of this product. I really want to do it as an informational basis to get at what are the beneficial side effects, what are some positive effects, what are some negative effects, and does it interact with drugs? So one of the things we did talk about is the CBD and its effects on the cytochrome P450 system. And so we'll talk about its drug-drug interaction section and things that we need to worry about as pharmacists and what we're telling our patients. And then we do have to talk about a little bit about what are the beneficial effects. So Todd, do you have any idea of what CBD can help you with?
So I've seen the most, it seems like, documented conditions. And one of those was children that are dealing with seizures. And people that are dealing with seizures, where you see the man or the child on the YouTube video where they give them an oil of some sort and they show them seizing and shaking. And then within, you know, 15 minutes, they're calmed down and they can talk and they feel better. So that's the one condition where I feel, just from being an observer, a non-educated observer, that it seems as if that would be a condition that CBD could really be leveraged.
So in the right now, in the market of prescription and over-the-counter products, right, there are a couple of products that are out there on the market already that have THC, CBD, and a combination of the two. In the United States, there's a THC product called dronabinol or Marinol. Marinol has been thought that it could be used for analgesia, as an antiemetic, an appetite stimulant, and a muscle relaxant. So it's generally used for those chemotherapy, reduce the refractory chemotherapy-induced nausea vomiting. All right. It also can help cachectic patients maybe increase their appetite and put on some weight during very rough chemo. There's a CBD only product. So the THC only product in the United States is Marinol. It also may be known as Syndros as a generic, but its, you know, chemical name is dronabinol. In Canada, there's a product called Sesamet. And it's the same. It's the same product. CBD only product. These are prescription medications. Are cannabinol. That's a CBD only product. It's called Epidolex in the United States, and it's used to treat refractory childhood seizures. It's used to help with Lexon-Gastaut syndrome and a couple other childhood onset seizure problems, and it's been very effective. So. Is there a difference between Epidolex and over-the-counter CBD? You know, I don't have an answer for that. There are also some combination products of CBD and THC in various ratios. They are only available in Canada. One of them is Sastavex, and another product is called Tilray. I believe Tilray is in a 2-to-100 CBD to THC ratio. And they are, again, for refractory childhood onset seizures due to the Lexon-Gastaut syndromes. So basically what we're going to see here now is the potential benefits. What are the beneficial effects of CBD? There is a prescription medication that is used to treat seizures. So now we're going to talk a little bit about CBD and its potential effect, beneficial effects. So it could be used as an analgesic. It could be used as an anticonvulsant. It may have muscle relaxant or neuroprotective effects. And it also can be used to reduce the negative or undesirable effects of THC. So one of the things to think about is that its antagonistic effect on THC. So there are products that will play with the ratio of CBD to THC to ameliorate some of the paranoia or sedation that comes with the use of THC. Now, what we're seeing then is that the concept of the antagonism. So there are coffee shops, right, who are putting CBD in the coffee. Why? What do you think they would do that?
Okay, from my perspective, the know it some, I would think they have a very specific condition they think they're going to take it for, mm-hmm. or they're just curious of how they're going to feel as a first time experience with CBD. And hey, go ahead, I love coffee, put it in my coffee, let's see what happens.
Right. So possibly in the coffee, you're exactly right. The other issue is that probably in the coffee, it's used to get rid of some of the jitteriness, right? Or some of the heart racing effects, because they think it's going to have a antagonistic effect on the elevation and stimulation of those products. Right? It's possible. Right. Can't say it's actually going to do those things, but you know, because remember, you can't put on CBD over the counter is used to treat this, 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 and this. If you do, it's a drug, right? And the FDA says, nah, can't call it a drug. We already have one of those, mm-hmm. right? And we regulate what's called a drug,
right? So a couple of years back, Jason, I remember CoQ10 was the buzz. Mm-hmm. Like everybody kept talking about it. Mm-hmm. And then later, as we move forward with, and I don't even know what CO stands for in the CoQ10.
It's coenzyme.
Coenzyme. Okay. So we already know that that's a substance in the human body that makes it naturally. Mm-hmm. The cells can use it to generate energy. Okay, that's great. Well, when you started injecting statins into the picture, mm-hmm. then the medical landscape began to change in the condition of the individual. And CoQ10 just didn't seem to be that hot of a thing anymore because of the facts and the science that came to be more known. And mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what's going to happen with CBD. I think we're not through the gold rush stage yet. I think Correct. We're in it as we speak.
Yeah, I agree.
Literally. And I think it will peak. And then I think it's just going to become science. Here, an example was your Medispan. So if you, as a pharmacist, want to know the interaction between drug A and drug B mm-hmm. that somebody's on, you can put it into your little Medispan app or directory, and you can get scientifically known conditions based on studies of what the interactions are going to be. I don't think that's available for CBD, is it?
Well, there are some people who are getting ahead of the curve. Okay. Right. So I'll give you my general thought on the funniness I thought about CoQ10. CoQ10's other name is ubiquinol. Right. What does ubiquitous mean? It's everywhere. It's all over your body. There's so much of it, right? You're not truly going to completely deplete a ubiquitous coenzyme in the body. Right. So I kind of thought it was funny that people had to supplement CoQ10 and get this ultra expensive, super absorbable product because it's basically an unabsorbable item that you're putting in your body. So that was just, I'm like, if you want to waste your money, I'm not going to tell you not to waste your money, but you know, I don't really think you need it. So there are people getting ahead of the curve on CBD in terms of finding out, and this is where the research starts. Does this product interact with other drugs? Is it going to hurt you to take it? Well, there's an example that came out of some research, and it shows that CBD inhibits CYP2CA, 2C9, and 2C19, right? So for all of us who do pharmacogenetics, we know that the CYP2C19 system is very important. 2C9, 2C19 are our neuroleptic drugs and our antidepressants. So we're going to worry about a product that inhibits those enzyme pathways because they break down the drugs. So if we inhibit the breakdown of our amitriptyline, valproic acid, and warfarin, right, we're going to increase the level of those drugs and possibly have negative effects or adverse drug reactions when it comes to those products. So CBD inhibits, again, CYP2C8, 2C9, and 2C19, which then might raise the levels of products like amitriptyline, valproic acid, and warfarin. CBD also may increase CBD levels, can be inhibited. Sorry, let me say that again. CBD levels might be increased by the 3A4 inhibition, such as products like clarithromycin inhibit 3A4. So CBD, like a lot of products, are broken down by 3A4, which is the part of the enzyme, the CYP enzyme system, that will increase the levels of CBD and may have some negative effects on the body. So that brings us to, what are the negative effects of CBD? Well, CBD may decrease your appetite and it may increase weight loss. Not exactly a negative side effect for some of us, right? It could cause diarrhea, and it's not unheard of that it does cause diarrhea. Some of that diarrhea could be limited by not ingesting it, right? By having it put under the tongue and letting it be absorbed. MCT oil is a fantastic product if you're trying a CBD, is you can find one that's in an MCT oil, and allowing it to be absorbed under the tongue, and you hold it, park it under your tongue until you, till it's mostly absorbed. You probably can reduce some of the diarrhea side effects of that.
CBD. Is that, let me ask a question. So that's because the MCT oil helps you to absorb the CBD differently.
Yeah, what it does is it's a base, right? Okay. Just like water, coffee, you know, they're all a base, right? Okay. What's what you're dissolving the CBD in. So it can be dissolved in oil of any kind. Some popular oils that are used are hemp seed oil. Some other ones are MCT oil, which is our medium chain triglycerides. And water is another one. But what you're looking for is a product that is rapidly absorbed through the oral mucosa. MCT tends to be that product. So if it absorbs through the oral mucosa under the tongue, it gets right into the bloodstream relatively quickly and bypasses first pass metabolism. It's thought that the oral mucosa does not have a tract that's straight to first pass. So the product is more available to you. The other thing to think about too is there may be some liver damage associated with the CBD. Now, I think the research showed that if there's a concentration that's like 17% versus, 10%, then it could be in combination with clobazam or valproate. These are other anti-seizure drugs. So if you're trying to take CBD as a product to help you reduce seizures, but you're already on anti-seizure medication, it's important to worry about, because some of your anti-seizure medications are hepatotoxic. And so your doctor's already going to be doing liver function tests and checking your AST and ALTs and trying to figure out, you know, is the product we're giving you already damaging your liver? Well, in combination with things like clobazam and valproate, you may actually be increasing the likelihood of liver injury. And so you just have to be careful. And you have to watch your dosing. So is there evidence available that there is a specific effect of CBD? The only place that we can look for is the actual drugs themselves, because there were real studies, placebo, double-blind controlled studies, animal studies, because they had to bring these products to market. So enabled to bring a product to market as a drug, and you have to go through all the animal trials, you have to go through the human trials, and you have to prove safe and effective, right? So the only place we do have evidence is in anti-seizures. And we found that there may be limited evidence to suggest that CBD can reduce psychotic episodes in Parkinson's patients. And it also may be used as an anxiolytic, but there is some conflicting evidence in those patients. Also, the CBD itself, as the drug that we mentioned earlier, can be good for helping with refractory seizures. But I'm not going to tell you to go out there and buy CBD oil as a product that's going to treat your seizures. It's not going to, you know, as a product that's going to help with your anxiety. If you want to try it, I think it's okay to try. I don't think in the long run, trying a bottle is going to hurt you. It may help you, but everybody is an individual and everybody responds to medicine, and we're going to treat this as a medicine differently.
As a pharmacist, things are crazy at the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has a prescription that they're picking up and they say to the pharmacist, "Hey, I have anxiety. I'm thinking about taking CBD."
Mm-hmm.
A pharmacist is in a kind of a peculiar situation there. Like, how do you manage something like that?
Well, listen, if you're flipping burgers at retail, and that's my friend Ken Sternfeld's quote, uh-huh. You know, you're poor guys, you're out there flipping burgers at retail. Listen, I get it. It's very hectic. There are a few things you have to have in your head as a retail pharmacist as super important to jump on, right? Not everybody wants to know where the Advil is and it's down aisle 5. Some people have some real concerns, and there has to be a click in your head that says this person has a real issue. We need to stop for a second, put everything aside. I'll get back to the production line in a minute and talk to this patient. You know, you have to understand inherently and have some ability to read people to say, okay, we need to have a real conversation, because there are a lot of people out there who are suffering with pain. And not all of them want to take opioids. Not all of them want to take over-the-counter medication. Not all of them have the time, money, or inclination to go to massage therapy, get acupuncture, and all the other adjunctive therapies we'd like to try. But hey, they did hear about CBD. Mm-hmm. And I heard I could try this. What do you think? What should I do?
Right.
Okay. Well, it's important that we suggest to our patients that they look for products that are analyzed a certain way. If a product like a vitamin has a USP seal on it, it means that that product was tested for purity. So what we would like to see is some certificate of analysis from an independent lab on the CBD products. So as a pharmacist too, if you're an independent pharmacist and you're looking to have a CBD product on your shelf, you might want one that has some certificate of analysis that says what is in here, we say is in here. If there's CBD in here, we say there's CBD. But not only that, if we say there's 50 milligrams in this bottle, there's 50 milligrams in the bottle, right? If there's 1500 milligrams in the bottle, that's what's actually in there, okay? So that's important, because if people are playing with dosing and they're trying to figure out how much to take, it's a trial and error system. Right, we can say, you know, empirically that if you have anxiety, maybe you want to stay around the 15-7 milligram range. Maybe that'll be helpful. If you have chronic pain, maybe you want to be in 30 milligram range. But we don't know. You know, what do we know that doctors tend to do that we hate? They dose to effect, right? So trial and error medicine, dosing to effect, these are the things that we try to avoid. But if you don't know anything about the product, you don't know how much to take, start low, slowly titrate up to an effective dose, and that's the only thing that we can really say in terms of dosing THC, CBD products. That's where we want to be safe. How do you be safe? You start slow, you go low, and slowly move up in dosing to an effect. And if you get to a point where, you know, you're up to 1500 milligrams bottles and they're not having an effect, it's likely that you're not going to have anything that's going to be beneficial for you in that realm.
So what about drug testing? And me as a professional, or anyone out there as a professional who is taking a CBD on a regular basis, mm-hmm. they feel as if they're getting some positive impact on their lives through it. I don't know if that's placebo. I don't know if it's actually working. Regardless, they like it, so they're taking it every day. And they're up for another position. They take a drug test. What happens?
Okay. So here's the other reason we want you to have a certificate of analysis on the products that you sell or the products that you buy, right? Most urine tests for a job will test for THC. They don't test for CBD. Here's the problem. High-dose CBD products, high-concentration CBD products, can have and pardon me, all CBD products, right? All CBD products may have trace amounts of THC in them. Okay. It's a very, very small amount, and that's the portion that makes it legal, right? It has less than 0.3% THC. But remember, a percentage can be transformed into a milligram amount. So if you have high concentration CBD products, and maybe it's the 5,000 milligram bottles, right? That has a percent, 0.3 of THC. That high concentration may elevate your THC dose. If it does that, the and or is an impure product, that can lead to a positive THC test. So okay. What am I recommending? Maybe you pre-urine test. I don't know. I really don't have a great answer for that. Again, the best thing to do is be safe. So again, it's certified. Maybe buy a product that only is from a certified lab. The other option is to pre-test with an over-the-counter urine test kit to see what's going on. And then, you know, if you do have to test close to the time, then maybe bring in the CBD product that you were using and say, hey, this is what I've been using, and maybe it's going to show up or maybe it's not.
That's interesting. So what do you suggest for our pharmacist listeners to educate themselves in the interim of the FDA truly blessing the world of CBD?
So just like everything else, you have to educate yourself. You can't just listen to me. You know, I get things wrong. I'm not always 100% correct. I know, be careful, everybody. I'm not perfect. Believe it or not, I thought I was, but I'm not. I might get some things wrong. Do some reading. Go to the pharmacist letter. Don't Google stuff. You know, get on the real sources. Go to the FDA.gov. Read some articles on the effects of cannabis and cannabinoids. If you want to educate yourself on a really deep dive, then you can read all about the 27 different types of cannabinoids that are out there. Do you want to offer only a CBDB product, or do you want to offer a full spectrum CBD product? I don't know. I can't tell you one is better than the other. I don't think there's enough evidence. There are some charts that are available called comparison of cannabinoids. That's on the Natural Medicine website for the pharmacist letter. I believe that's a subscription service. You know, and just have some thoughts in your head that you want to talk about. You can't just blow things off anymore. People are really interested. It also could be an effective line for a pharmacy to bring in, right? Pardon me. Sorry about that. You know, pharmacists are looking to diversify. Mm-hmm. Just filling prescriptions isn't enough anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm happy to be working with you guys, and I'm happy to be working with Ken Sternfeld. And we're going to be bringing some amazing products to the market to save pharmacists. We like to say we want to save pharmacists from being chained to the bench. We want to free you from the bench. We know that not everybody can do that or has the entrepreneurial spirit to get away. And there are a lot of people who are very happy working behind the bench. There's nothing wrong with it. I did it for 15 years. I'm looking to do other things, and that's why we generated this podcast. And we're also looking to bring the consultative skill set of a pharmacist to the doctor's office. And we're going to be working with doctors all over the country very shortly in driving the pharmacist care model within their office. And, you know, part of that product offering is always going to be a CBD product, because people really are so interested in knowing that there's might be something out there that can help them that's different from quote unquote taking medicine.
Something that I just found, which is interesting, is there is a CBD professional development organization called CBD Training Academy. Mm-hmm. They have an actual national conference called CBD Week, which is the end of June 2019, where you can become a certified CBD professional, which blows my mind. So I don't know if that's a CMS based certification or what. I can't imagine that it is because of the FDA situation, but nonetheless, there's a lot of alphabet soup in the names and titles of some of these people that make me feel, just based on reading about this, that there must be some hardened information that is being leveraged to develop such a certification.
That's interesting. That's great.
Yeah. So I think we're on the right road, and I think that pharmacists have to be in the driver's seat or the co-pilot seat to the physician. However, I think there's a lot more question marks based on the uncertainty of timing of the FDA, because your license and your credibility and the legality of it all, I think should, you shouldn't be paranoid about it, but you should definitely be cognizant of it all.
Right. And CBD is just another arrow in the quiver. This is just another product that we can use to help our patients. We're going to be another trusted source, right? So there's a question, who do you go to? The doctors don't know much about it. We know that we have to know about it, because if nobody else does, who's going to be there? Sometimes I like to think that the pharmacist is the catcher in the rye, right? We're the last person left before the kids go flying off the cliff, and we're trying to catch everybody from hurting themselves. Well, you have to be able to be there for them, and you have to be able to know what these products are and in relationship to how they affect people. We're going to put a link to a couple great resources at the show notes about what we've talked about today. And we're going to show you our references and things like that, so that you know that we're not just pulling things out of the top of our heads or reading some crazy wiki page. This is all evidence-based. This is all scientific research. And our job is to read what's out there, synthesize it, and give it back to you in a way that is palatable. And that's hopefully what we've achieved today. If you have any questions, I really hope that you will reach out to me at Dr. JMax on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram at Dr. JMax. You could shoot me questions there. If you have any suggestions for future shows, we'd love to talk about what you're interested in talking about, not just what I care about.
Yeah, and please help us. I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years, and the reason that we've become such a popular network of podcasts and podcasters and pharmacist intelligence is because our listeners have taken the time to write reviews, retweet episodes they like, post things on LinkedIn. This really helps the network get out there. The whole purpose and mission of the Pharmacy Podcast Network is to elevate the voice of the pharmacist as one of the most trusted sources of healthcare and therapy and treatment. And the industry is changing. So pharmacy is changing. It's not going to be about the transaction anymore. It's going to be about the practice of pharmacy and how you're embracing your patient. It's going to be a lot more hands-on. The PBM reform that's coming is going to be changing the way pharmacists get paid. And our group and people that Jason and I work with are not waiting for any of that to happen. We're doing it today. There is an amazing organization called the RxVIP Concierge that Ken Sternfeld put together many years ago that I've been involved in now for about 2 years. It's an amazing organization that allows the pharmacist to be hands-on and work with physicians that has nothing to do with the prescription itself. It's not processing the prescription. It's caring for the patient. So if you're listening to today's show and you're curious, you want to learn more about CBD, we do have resources. Look at the show notes. If you don't find what you need, please reach out to Jason or reach out to me, obviously at Pharmacy Podcast or at Dr. JMax. And Jason, thanks for putting this together and for another episode of the Evidence-Based Podcast.
Well, I'm glad that I could be with you guys today. Again, thank you for your time spending it with us at the Evidence-Based Podcast. We've had a real great time doing it with you and can't wait to see more about what we're going to do for the next show.
That's right. What is the next show going to be on? You already hinted to me before we started recording.
I think the next show, most importantly, should be the supplement-based podcast. And we're going to look at what needs to be supplemented, what shouldn't be supplemented. The other issue that we're looking at really closely is opioid treatment. And Todd has a great background in the opioid epidemic in the United States. He works for a wonderful company that really tries to help the entire country with this issue. And I think we're going to take a really deep dive into understanding the opioid epidemic and the treatment of the opioid addicted patient.
Thank you so much, podcast listeners. Please share the show with other pharmacist professionals that you know and physicians that you know. This is interesting stuff. It's how we grow. And we are out.